The following live presentation by Rabbi David Aaron is brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To learn more about Israelite, please visit our website at www.israelite.org. Additional contact information is available at the end of this presentation. Thank you for learning with Israelite and enjoy the experience.
The meaning of fulfillment. Actually, when you think about it, the word fulfillment is somewhat of an odd word, right? Because fulfillment means full, filled with the full. Fulfilled. We want to be fulfilled, which means filled with the full. Why don't we just say we want fulfillment or fulfillment? It's not called fulfillment, and it's not called fulfillment, it's called fulfillment. So what does that mean? Anyway, the reason why I share this is in order to better understand what it means to live a life that's purposeful and meaningful, we're really trying to fill ourselves, right? Fill ourselves. And that already implies that there's a sense of some kind of void, some kind of emptiness that we want to fulfill ourselves with. And the question is, well, what do we want to fulfill ourselves, you know, with? So that's what I want to explore. I want to explore the meaning of fulfillment. So in the Kabbalah we're taught that in the beginning all of existence was endless light. And that's not what existence is, but that's how the Kabbalists would poetically describe the experiential encounter with existence, okay? Spiritual encounter with existence. This light is the all. This light is everything. And when we fill ourselves up with this light, we feel fulfilled. We are filling ourselves with that which is the full, right? We refer to God as the all, the whole. That's one of the words used to describe God, the all. So fulfillment would mean that we are experiencing a sense of being filled with the one who fills all, the one that is by definition always full, which is God. In other words, Judaism easily teaches, not that it's easy to accomplish, but that to feel God in one's life is the greatest sense of fulfillment, because a person feels that they are filled with that which is full and always full, which is God. What really makes people happy? You know, human beings can be quite complex, anxious and confused. Animals, they don't ask for much to be happy. If you give them food, water, shelter, and you don't hurt them, then they're at peace. If we humans, on the other hand, even if we have delicious food and fine wines, palatial shelter, and we're blessed with great health, we still may not be happy. In fact, we may even be miserable. Some of us may even consider suicide. Why? Because we human beings are not simply animals with greater intelligence. We are souls. And even when our bellies are full, we may still feel profoundly empty. In fact, having our bellies full and yet still feeling empty can be excruciatingly frustrating. And that's kind of an amazing thing, where we, on one hand, our bellies are full, and yet somehow we still feel empty. And then what happens is we then feel not only sad, but guilty over our profound sadness. We've got everything. You know, our shells are filled, our bank accounts are filled, our homes are filled, Our time is filled with events left and right, and yet we feel empty. So we feel sad, and then we feel even guilty of our sadness, which then turns into downright depressed. Now, it's interesting. If we were to go back into time, let's say 100 years ago, and tell the people of that time what life would look like today, they'd be flabbergasted, right? Imagine describing a modern kitchen, a microwave oven, or a food processor, or a dishwasher. Imagine people 100 years ago, they would totally be shocked, right? I mean, not so long ago, people would have to chop wood and make a fire. But today, we have instant this, and we have instant that. In fact, my father, who's 80 years old, tells me how when he was growing up in Russia, they didn't even own a refrigerator. Can you imagine that? Not so long ago. That's 80 years ago. They had a well in their backyard. And when they had to store things that needed to be kept cool, they would lower it into the well. He recalls that the family could only afford to have a little meat for the Jewish holidays. And so to keep it from spoiling, they would lower the meat down into the well until it would be cooked for the, you know, for Yom Tov, for the holiday. So one time the rope ripped and the meat fell into the well. And since my father was the smallest of the siblings, they lowered him down into the well to fetch the meat. So just imagine what, you know, imagine describing to a person only 100 years ago, right? What life looks like today. Describing to them transportation, right? I mean, not only do most people have a car, many even have a couple of cars. And then when you think about what kind of cars people have, it's unbelievable what you can get in a car today. Nowadays, it's all computerized. If there's a couple of drivers in the family, then you push a button, everything in the car automatically accords itself to the driver. The seat adjusts itself to the driver's height, the mirror, even the radio changes to the the particular taste of the driver. What are we going to think of next? And then imagine that we explain and describe to a person 100 years ago what communications will look like in our time. Wireless internet, access mobile phones. People walking down the street and looking as if they're talking to themselves now is normal, right? Once upon a time, you think a guy was crazy. He's walking down the street and he's talking to himself. Now we assume crazy people emphatically talking to themselves must be connected somehow to a cell phone. You know, when I was a kid, maybe you remember this, there was a spy show called Get Smart. And remember that? Get Smart? Secret Agent Smart had a shoe phone, and I wondered when I was a kid whether someday we'd ever have shoe phones. And I exceeded my dreams because I actually have a yarmulke that functions as a satellite dish. I'm just joking. Anyways, so now after describing what life looks like to people 100 years ago, what would they conclude? They would probably think that we are the happiest generation in history living in utopia. But are we? Right? My guess is we are not the happiest generation in history. In fact, we might be amongst the most miserable generations in history. And yet, although our lives are filled with gadgets and gadgets that bring much leisure to our lives, relaxation to our lives, creates efficiency. We're able to do more and do more faster and do more with less expenditure of energy. And yet somehow, I think we might be the most miserable generation. And I think one of the reasons is because we have so much time on our hands. Once upon a time, we didn't have time to think about what we're going to do with our time. But now people have to think about what they're going to do with their time. Once upon a time, we were so busy just trying to survive and attend to our daily chores. And perhaps our generation is the most challenged with existential questions like, who are we? Or what is our purpose on earth? Or what gives our lives fulfillment. Like if you saw the movie The Fiddler on the Roof, where Tevye is with his wife Goldie, and Tevye asks his wife after 25 years whether she loves him. They've never really thought about it. She responds that for 25 years, she cooked and cleaned for him for 25 years. My bed is his. If that's not love, what is? Right? Those kind of questions, they didn't, that was like an odd thing to ask. Today, people are constantly asking these big questions. Who am I? Am I loved? Is love real?
So
so what is the path to true fulfillment when in fact our lives seem to be filled and yet in some strange way people still feel somehow deeply empty? So today, we have the luxury to ask questions, but I believe our souls need more than answers. I think we need what I call solutions. Not solutions, but soul-lutions. S-O-U-L-tions. So now, it's understandable why pagan man deified animals. The pagans deified animals. If you'll go into like a museum, you'll see what are their, gods look like. They look like animals. Or you would see pagans wearing animal masks, or you could see this amongst some savage tribes. They dance with masks that look like animals.
Right.
And that's because they admired animals. In some pagan ceremonies, the holy men would wear, these animal masks because they aspired to be animal-like. Peaceful, natural, happy, guilt-free. Animals don't sit around and torment themselves with annoying philosophical questions about purpose and meaning. you give your dog Alpo, and he's content, right? But we're not. And that's the real big question. What is the path to true fulfillment? So when we go back to it, many of our problems are not connected to material comfort or physical well-being. Because, in fact, Carl Jung said that most of his clients were successful business people. The psychiatrist Carl Jung. So, clearly, the material comforts and the physical comforts aren't necessarily the answer. Although they sure help make things easier, but sometimes not. Jokingly, the comedian Stephen Wright, he once had a line, "You can't have everything. Where would you put it?" Right? Cute, but but even if we did have enough space to put everything, it would still not be enough, because the best things in life are not things. And that's what's important. Fulfillment cannot happen with things. Right? Fulfillment is through what we would call from Kabbalah the no things. The best things in life are not things. Love, understanding, purpose, meaning, these are not things. And, when these types of no things are missing in our lives, then even if we had everything, it wouldn't be enough. Because we'd still feel we have nothing. Because we, in order to feel fulfillment, we need to be able to open ourselves up to receive the no things in our lives. I met a fellow who owns this really successful firm on Wall Street. I naturally pictured in my mind this incredibly successful, mega wealthy businessman. I had not met him yet, so I didn't know what he looked like. And then his attractive receptionist walks me into his office, and I'm shocked to see the man behind the name. And misery was written all over his face. I mean, he had dark bags around his eyes. I never in a million years would have thought this guy owns and built such a firm. And he was sitting at his desk with five computer screens surrounding him from every angle. He greets me with no smile. And I said to him, "Wow, quite an impressive place you got here." So he says, "Oh, yeah, I guess so. So you're the master of mind behind all this." I said, you know, with a hope that get a smile out of him. And it must be gratifying to enjoy the fruits of your labor. So the guy looks at me and he says, Rabbi, I make a great living, but I have a rotten life. I have no love in my life. I don't even know how to love. I just know how to make money. That's what this guy says to me. So the whole time we conversed, he rarely made eye contact with me. And he would suddenly write some business memo and constantly look to and fro from screen to screen. He just simply couldn't focus. He was unable to be present. And, you know, with all his riches, essentially he was a very poor man. So essentially what we discover and see is that with everything people have, a lot of people still feel incredibly empty, and we still look for fulfillment. And so the question is, how do we get that? What do we need? What are we looking for? And I would suggest that, you know, most human beings have three fundamental needs, and that's been my experiences in like the last 25 years as a educator or a, you know, kind of a spiritual guide or a life coach for people. What I find is that, one, we all need to feel significant. I think we all want to feel special, acknowledged, valued, and appreciated. Two, I think we all want to feel loved and connected. I think we want to feel included and welcomed. We want to belong and feel that we're belonging to something greater than ourselves. And number three, I would say we all want to feel that we're growing, that we're advancing forward, progressing. And according to the Torah, this all makes sense. Because it makes sense that we should all want to feel significant, loved, and growing, because we are. We are significant, we are loved, and we are growing. You know, for example, you know, a person can't have a craving for, you know, guba gaba. Because there's no such thing, you know, I just made up the word. You can't crave a food that you've never tasted. And you certainly can't crave something that isn't real. But if you've tasted, for instance, toffee, you may crave it because you've tasted it. You can't crave wanting to feel significant, loved, and constantly growing unless you really are significant, loved, and a being who is, in, you know, a dynamic being. And that's exactly what Torah teaches us. Torah teaches us that we are souls, and that the soul is a part of God. And of course, God is one, and He doesn't break into pieces, but that's the best way we can kind of explain this mystical truth, that we're one with God, we're a part of God, but we need to always recognize the limitations of our words. But nonetheless, the Torah teaches us that our inner self is godly. So no wonder we want to feel significant. How could a spark of God not be significant, special, valuable? You know, the challenge in our life is to live a lifestyle, which means to act, speak, and think in ways that befit our greatness.
This presentation by Rabbi David Aaron has been brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To access additional presentations from our online media library, order our best-selling books, or learn more about Israelite programming, including seminars, web-based learning, teleconferences, spiritual retreats, Shabbaton experiences, Israel missions, and leadership training, please visit us at www.israelite.org. That's www.israelight.org. You can also call us in New York at 212-947-4990 or in Jerusalem at country code 972-2-627-4890. We hope you enjoyed this presentation, and we look forward to learning with you at Israelite.